Hey, let's do this. Okay. That was in the right moment. Praise the Lord. Okay. So let's continue with this topic that we're talking. We have been talking already for what? Maybe like 5 or 6 weeks? Talking a little bit about fear and all the things that we are facing in our daily life, that it creates fear in our hearts. And hopefully the continuation of learning more about the Scripture of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, helping us to continue managing all those things so we are not fearing those other issues or circumstances in our life. And today is going to be also another great blessing that I experienced in my life, and God talked to my heart and bring some comfort, some conviction of everything that He's doing in us. So thank you for always the Lord to bless us with His mercy and His love. So I want to pray that, Father God, please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, be you speaking to the church and not me. Please remove any of my thoughts, mentality, mind, and be you speaking, please. Remove me out of the picture. We're going to share your scripture, and we like that your word, through the Holy Spirit, touching the hearts and transform us. Be you speaking inside of us, deep over there, where we have all those things that is maybe not from you, that you are cleaning and removing and sanctifying us, so that way we can be like you want us to be, according to your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord for all the blessings of all these messages. And when we continue learning more, I remember the story of 1 Samuel 17:26 when David was asking to fight this Goliath. And in 1 Samuel 17:26, it says that David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine?" Philistine or Philistine? Philistine, thank you. Philistine, "and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So I just want you to focus on the word disgrace. Because this man is creating disgrace on the Israelites. And sometimes you and me, remember, the word disgrace is related to fear. And this fear that he's creating on the Israelites is the same thing that you and I maybe are facing with different things in our life. And creating those disgrace. We are living in disgrace because we are letting the fear to control our life. We are letting the fear to be in our hearts and mind and control everything that we are doing. And that's also what is remembering me when we were reading Joshua 5:9, and it says, "Then the Lord say to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the place has been called Gilgal to this day." What does that mean? When we were talking about this story, this is a 40 years that the Israelites were walking through the desert, the wilderness, and when they were walking through there, they were not obeying God. And because they were not obeying God, God didn't allow them to enter to the Holy Land, according to Scripture. And then now these people, these soldiers, that they will be born during the world wilderness, then God is asking Joshua, "You have to circumcise them." And then after the circumcision that they are doing in that moment, God is talking to Joshua and say, "Today, I remove that reproach." In other words, the same thing. Disgrace, in other words, the same thing. Fear. And now when we read, I don't have it here, so let's go really quick to Joshua 5. I don't want to miss that. So Joshua 5, at the beginning, verse 1, it says, "Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanites kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. And they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. They heard what God did to protect and save the Israelites. And they say, I'm not going to deal with these people. I'm not going to deal with the God of these people. It's too much. Fear started getting in them. And now the fear that the Israelites had when they get circumcised, it gets removed. We know a lot about circumcisions. According to Scripture, I'm not talking about physical one. I'm talking about the hearts. Because the Bible is talking about circumcise your hearts. So in other words, you have to cut and remove anything that is not from Him. So that way you can be clean and sanctified. Now that God is doing that, now that He's removing that specific moment in your life, removing that fear, what is happening, it is that we are facing other things in our life. We are facing injustice. But the injustice that I want to talk today is specifically, I want to talk about when we have that mindset, that mentality, that this is not fair for me. This is not fair. Did you ever heard that before? Right? I kind of heard that daily. I'm sorry, I'm not going to cry here. I'm not going to cry because my things, you know. All the things that we are going through is to bless the Lord. So, at least in my experience, when, for example, we bring something at work, it can be food, it can be a gift, it can be anything, and then sometimes we have some complaints or concerns, and people says, this is unfair. This is unfair. I want pizza, but they bring burritos. I'm not joking. It's really, you know, my experiences are that. Why they bring the pizza with pepperoni when I want it without the pepperoni? Okay. This is unfair. Why they don't ask me what I want? I want salad. I don't want pizza. That's fine. We can bring, if you're a vegetarian, we can bring salad. That's fine. But the mentality, it is why you have that mentality when in any way it's a free food and it is a gift that you are receiving from another person. And I'm blame of that. I'm also sometimes, I feel that and I ask God, why? It's unfair. And we as a Christian, we sometimes fight with God about those things. I've been fasting all day. I've been fasting 40 days and nothing happened. This is unfair. What's going on? I don't see your glory. That happened to me. I not for my glory, for the glory of God. I fast for 10 days. And then seven days. And then I asked God in the days number six, nothing happened. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. There's no movement. What's going on? I'm just here wasting my time praying. That's the mentality that I have in that moment. What's going on? I don't feel your presence. I don't hear your voice. I don't see any manifestation. Is this real or not real? Am I wasting my time or not? And then we start thinking about injustice because I'm doing all these sacrifices and I'm start thinking, this is not working. This is not fair. Number six, fair enough. He talked to my life, and then there was some manifestation, demonic manifestation, and then we performed a deliverance. That was my first one in my life over there. So he answered me, and he responded to me, but not in my time. And that's what we are always maybe thinking, that it's going to be in my time, in our time. I want to see the things, what I want to see right now. And if I don't see it, unfair. This is unfair. Why I am not getting paid the same person of that is doing my same job? Come on. I'm not the only one. Don't make me feel really bad over here. I'm not the only one that sometimes we think I'm doing the same job of this person and I'm getting less money. Or what about I never went to school, I don't have a degree, and this person is the boss. Or is the boss of another person that he might have thousands of degrees. Doctor, I don't know, bachelor's, different things. And now your boss, he's not a doctor, he never went a bachelor, he never have anything. And we start feeling unfair. That's unfairness. It's not fair that you take me out of Egypt, you bring me to this wilderness, and I'm not receiving the same food that I was receiving over there, or the same treatment about food. I don't care about the slavery. I prefer to be a slave over there, but you know, I'm here walking in this desert, and this is unfair. Sometimes we tend to think about that, about God, and about our life. It is unfair. I deserve more. And I think that's the problem, that we start thinking that we deserve more than what we should. And I hope that today when we read the scripture, because as you guys know me already, I'm not trying to talk about myself. I prefer to talk about the scripture, go through the scripture, and let God talk to you, not me. And when we start learning and continue learning about this, I want to explain a little bit more about unjust or injustice. It's also in the scripture mentioned as evildoers, ungodly people, wrongdoers. The word unjust describes something that is not fair or equitable. It is used to describe situations, actions, dealings, or judgments that lack impartiality and fairness and that violate law or reason. So we see these nowadays in the Greek history or historically, Plato and Aristotle, they create all this thing about injustice. And that's why you and me, we're facing nowadays. Feminism, Afro-Americans, Latin Americans, everything. And when you go to the school, the college, you're getting all this knowledge and learning from them, from the Greek etymology, which is Aristotle's and Plato, bringing all these ideas. That's fine. The thing is that you and me, as Christians, are we supposed to follow that, or are we supposed to follow what it says over here? Because those things start creating this mindset of injustice. I'm not against of anything. I'm not a political guy. I'm not going to talk about that. Again, I'm going to just talk about this, what it says over here. Just think about God is removing his people from there, from Egypt. And now they are over here in the wilderness. This is unfair, God. You're bringing me over here. I'm not having the same food that I have over there. It's the same type of experience that I have at work and in other environments that sometimes they say is unfair. I want other things. Anyway, it's a gift. Anyway, it's something that someone is giving to you for free. But you think that you deserve it in a different manner. In the scripture, we learn that wisdom is both. It is discernment to know what is best, but it's also the strength of character to act on that knowledge. In other words, wisdom is going to be not just the intelligence of, I know everything. I'm really smart. Wow. But it's applying what you know. Otherwise, it's just knowledge in your mind. That's it. And we learn a lot of things in the Bible from different people about wisdom, but the one of the greatest one, you know who it is? King Solomon. And when we go to the scripture, let's go to First Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, this is how everything starts. Solomon made an allegiance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. Now, when we jump to number 6, Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Pay attention, because I know sometimes we just, at least me, sometimes we just read it and say, wisdom. This guy is really smart and that's it. He wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote Proverbs, and man, wow, amazing. But pay attention, because he's telling God, God reveals to him through a dream, and he's asking, what do you want? Ask for whatever you want and I will give it to you. And this guy says, I have duties. I have things to do. I have a responsibility. But I need something to carry those duties. I need something to manage those things. Because right now I don't feel capable to do those things that you put me in that place, or my father David put me in this place. Now, you see, your servant is here among the people you have chosen. A great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant, this is the question, this is what he's requesting. Give your servant a discerning heart. Discerning heart. Hallelujah. To govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern these great people of yours? Pay attention to what he's asking. He's asking, I need a discernment of heart. The first point that I want to share with you guys today is discernment. Because most of the time when we feel unfairness, injustice, it's because we don't have discernment in our hearts of understanding what you really are or who really you are in God. We tend to lose that track because all the things that is happening, because our life. And we need the discernment from our Lord God about these specific things that we are going through in our life. We need a discernment of who you are. What is the place that God put you so that way you can bless other people? We need that discernment. And in the scripture, and the definition of this word, it means that you have the ability to understand what is going on. That you understand and separately mentally you will separate those thoughts and understand what God is giving to you and who you are in God's presence. So what God is telling you, it is, you are my son. I am your God. I am your creator. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am everything in your life. If you're giving him the first place, if you're giving him that place in your life. Now, if that's really true, he's giving you the discernment in your heart of who you are, and now whatever is happening in your life, you're not going to see it as an injustice or unfairness. Anything that it can happen in your life, it will be okay. Maybe other people will see it and say, man, that's unfair. You're going through that? I have God. I know who he say I am. He gave me the discernment in my heart of knowing really who am I. And that discernment, it will help me to learn all these things that is happening. And I'm not going to let those things affect me at all. I'm not going to let that injustice or that unfairness touching my heart and my mind. Come on, I know. You and me, we go through this. Also with government. We know. That's unfair. That's unfair. Always that kind of mentality and word. But with God, that's not supposed to happen in our hearts when we have that discernment. These Israelites, when they were walking in the wilderness, they've lost that discernment in their hearts. And that's why God asked Joshua, you have to circumcise them. Not the other ones. The other ones they're dead. The people that walk out of Egypt, I'm not going to let them to enter the holy land. Because they were the ones with the not discernment of God in their hearts and seeing everything as unfair. This is unfair. But then the people that they born during the wilderness, this is fresh new people. They're knowing God now fresh. They're never experienced Egypt. And now they have the discernment in their hearts. God says, okay, let's cut, remove, circumcise. And now that they have the discernment, we remove the reproach. We remove the fear. We remove all those afraid things that we have that is not letting us to move forward because we are letting the unfairness to control our hearts. In the scripture, James 1:5. This is tough for me. I don't know for you guys, but this is tough for me. What I'm going to start reading now. Because this is the point of view of God, according to the scripture. So when we go through the scripture, 1 John 5:17, all wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Remember, wrongdoing, what is that? Unjust. People that is manifesting injustice. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for all for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So he also suffered for the sins of the righteous and the unrighteous. Everyone. We're clear so far, right? Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And there is no favoritism. Just in case, God doesn't have any favorites. So the question it is God unjust? If God is not unjust, and you discern already in your heart who you are, why sometimes we are unjust with other people, or maybe with the same God, when we are not showing that we are grateful for Him? Because most of the time when we say, this is unfair, it's because we are not grateful. We're not understanding really who we are in Him. It's the same terminology here on the earth. This is unfair. I deserve to pay more or get more money. It's because you don't know or you don't understand who you are right now in that place, in that position. This is earthly, secular talking. This is unfair. I want the pizza with pepperoni. This is what I want. This is the place that I want the pizza. But then the pizza without the pepperoni is the same. It's just pizza. It's food, right? You can eat it. Yeah, maybe if you're a vegetarian, it's a different story. We can bring salad. But maybe now the salad without dressing, come on. This is unfair. I want dressing in my salad. We can go with different stories, different examples about injustice, being unjust. But when we show that ungratefulness, or when we are not grateful to God, we start showing unjust injustice to other people. And what I'm trying to show you through the scripture is that for God, He's the same. From the beginning, He never changed. According to the scripture, there's no favoritism on Him. There's nothing. He's the same. And Jesus Christ died for all of them. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers, unjust, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexuality immoral, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. That's a different topic. I'm not saying that I'm not in favor or not on that, but I just want to focus on the first line because we're talking about the wrongdoers. The wrongdoers. The people that is unjust. That is performing injustice in other ones. And how this is happening? It's happening because you and me, we already have the discernment of God. And if you don't have it, what it says in James? In James says, ask. Ask for wisdom, and He will give you the wisdom. Remember, the wisdom that Solomon had is because he needs discernment. That wisdom will bring discernment to his heart, so that way he can understand how to manage all the things with the people of God. And that's what we need. We need discernment in our hearts. Romans 2:5-9. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. That's what the scripture says. Not me. I know. Don't look at me like that. Matthew 5:45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that one you will say, ouch. Right? Because our mentality, it is, I'm doing good, I'm going to receive good. They're doing bad, they're going to receive bad. Maybe yes, at some point, according to the scripture, God's wrath is going to happen, according to the scripture. The bad will receive the bad, or whatever consequences he's going to receive, and the good, the good. Anyway, the point it is, the Father God is the one that has the control of everything. Not you and me. He's the one allowing the Son to rise to the good and the evil. According to the scripture, I didn't say that. He's the one allowing the rain to pour into the righteous and unrighteous. Come on, give me the comment. The first, if I ask, do you have any question right now about that scripture? Yes. That's unfair. Because you want the unrighteous be paid for the unrighteousness. Yes or no? You want the evil not receiving the sun. You want the unrighteous not receiving the rain. Yes or no? Come on. That's our mentality. That's what we have in our mind. But what we can do if God is telling you, I am the one allowing that. And that's discernment in your heart. That's what I truly believe, that today God wants us to bring that discernment in our hearts. Do not waste your time in thinking who is unrighteous and who is evil and what they deserve. Because you and I, we don't have the control of that. It's going to be God. Leave it to God. Remove that out of your shoulders. Like the flies right now over here. My goodness. We have to spray something here for the flies. I don't want to read everything, guys. When you have a time, go and read Romans 9. That one is tough for me. Romans 9, the whole thing. But I want to just read maybe 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. That's not you. That's not me to call that. It's him. read the scripture before that, because it's crazy. For our mentality, for our head here on the earth, is not understandable, because you and me, again, we just want the people unrighteous and the people evil to get what they deserve. But God wants us to understand that and discern that in our hearts. That's not on you. That's on me. Don't worry. Just focus in me and do my glory. Please me. Matthew 20, you guys know the story. 21, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius. Thank you. For the day, and sent them into his vineyard. And then he went later in the day, and then he went another time in the day. And see these people that they are not working. Come on, guys, I need help over here. I will pay you if you work for me in my vineyard. Come on, let's do it. Now we get to verse 15. Let's start with 13. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you. Friend, didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Sorry. Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. You and me would say, that's unfair. Come on, God. Come on. I've been working 8 hours, and you're going to pay this guy that just worked 1 hour or 2 hours the same? That's our mentality. This is unfair. Don't I have the right? That's when you have to like, let me just don't say anything, step back. God is talking. And when God is talking, we are just his creation, servants. Yesterday we were talking about the fear of the Lord and the difference between also fear the Lord. This is God talking. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? With my own creation? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What we can say about that now? I didn't say anything. It was the scripture. And this is Jesus Christ in a parable expressing the kingdom of heaven as an example. The Father God giving the same to other people that you and me maybe think they don't deserve it. Tough. Difficult. Because our mentality. The second thing that I want to share with you guys today is distinguish. Because the other thing that Solomon, the king, asked God, it was, I need discernment in my heart so I can distinguish between good and evil. And distinguish is the same kind of concept or definition of discernment. It is separately the mentality. Remove this mentality over here on the earth and start thinking about the spiritual stuff that your Father God is providing to you. All the things that he say, all the things that he already proclaimed, divided, separated, that's distinguishing evil and good. God wants us to distinguish those things. God wants you to have the discernment in your heart. So that way, we now close that definition in wisdom. Say, okay, that's wisdom, okay. But inside of that is going to be discernment in your heart and distinguish between good and evil. What happened right away after that? You guys know the story. A woman showed up to the king. Two prostitutes with a baby. And then asked the king, hey, king, when I woke up this morning, I'm just going to paraphrase everything. My baby was dead. And the other woman says, no, my baby is the one that is alive. They say, no, the one that is alive is my baby. I know it. When I woke up in the morning, I saw it, and I know my baby. I know who's my baby, or my baby is. What the king did in that moment that we can learn out of this teaching today. Bring me the sword. Wow. What are we going to do? We're going to split the baby in half. And we're going to give a portion to this mom and this other portion to this mom. Do you think he's really going to do that? He's revealing what is truth. I truly believe that God is revealing to you and to me today what is truth. Because when God reveals to you what is truth, the injustice is going away. Remember, injustice is related to the truth. They're trying to reveal the truth to make it righteous, to make it just. one of the women says, "No, king, don't do that. Keep him alive. Give it to the other one." And the other one said, "No, kill it. Give me my portion." Sounds familiar. It sounds familiar when all the experiences that I have in my other, in my life at work. I don't care. I want my portion. I don't care. I want my pizza. And that reveals the truth. Because then King Solomon noticed over there, say, give the baby to her, the first one. That's the mom. It shows her heart of mom over there. That she don't mind to give it to the other woman as long as the baby is alive. But the other one show other things. The discernment that he wants us to understand. That's the discernment that Solomon he was asking. After that, according to scripture, it says that the people of Israel, they were amazed. Whoa! That's an amazing wisdom over there. Wow! What this guy did. But what he did, it was because he gave it to him. And the things that he gave it to him, which he wants to give it to us today also, if you don't have it, it is discernment in your heart and distinguishing between good and evil. So that way we can make the right decisions in our life. And those decisions are will be just, not unjust, not unfair. What he's doing. Let him do it. It's not to us to make the judgment and say, that's unfair, God. Step back of that. That was my recommendation. According to scripture, just let him be God. You be just his creation and be his son, people that believe, servants of him. But you and I, if we are like that, oh, this is unfair. That means you and I, our hearts are contaminated with those things. We don't have discernment of hearts. We don't have the distinguish of good and evil. And then we'll be unfair with other ones. And you saw what it says about the unfair people. That's not our creation. It's his creation. Let him do his work. You and I, let's do ours. The last point that I want to share with you guys today. It is content. Because the content, it will help us to overcome all those unfairness that sometimes we have in our hearts. It is unfair that I'm a servant of God. I love God. Come on. Sometimes you get to this point. I don't know you, but sometimes we can say about a joke about that. I pray that today my teacher gets sick so that way I don't get the exam because I'm not prepared to the exam. Right? So spiritual in that moment. So unfair. We are so spiritual in that moment because we're looking for our benefit. And I pray these 20 weeks about this specific thing. I know God is going to bless me. What happens if he's not happening anything? Are you going to tell him that he's unjust? He's unfair? I pray 20 days in a row or I fast 20 days in a row and I don't see anything from you? I will recommend not to get into that water. Because according to the scripture, and we know that is true, he's just. He don't have any favoritism. He's just going to do what he needs to do in the moment that he needs to do it. And maybe I'm just talking about myself here, but sometimes we have that mentality that because I'm doing these things, I'm going to receive the other things, because that's the mentality that you and I, we have here. But when those things are not happening, I'm just trying to share with you guys the discernment in your heart so that way you don't get frustrated, so that way you don't get disappointed, because God is God, and you and I, we're just here with Him, loving Him, serving Him, loving each other, and letting Him do what He needs to do. Okay, when we go to Philippians 4:10, what it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concerns for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. That's the secret that God wants you and me to understand. Because when you and I, we go through the need, that's unfair. It's unfair. I'm a servant. I'm loving you. I've been serving you for years. And I'm not seeing what I want to see. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Paul was reading this. He wrote this to the Philippians, telling you and me, come on, guys. I have learned to be in this moment. I have learned to be in this moment. It doesn't mean that God is unjust. It doesn't mean that He's not being fair with me. Ecclesiastes 5. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. These two is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners, except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. This is Solomon, the king that we're just talking about, that God provide him wisdom, discernment in his heart, distinguish good and evil. He's sharing with us what he learned and what we can learn from this and apply it in our hearts and life. 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. You know what does that mean? There's a story that I was reading, a tale about a king that he was looking for content, but he couldn't find it. So then he started asking his servants and says, hey, can you go out there and start looking for someone that have content? And when you find that person, bring me his teacher. The time passed, and then when they come back, they say, did you find someone? We did. Where's my shirt? The man has no shirt. We think that the content we can get it from anyone else for whatever other person maybe is doing, because we're seeing that as an unfair. Remember, when God was talking to Jesus Christ in the parable, the main concept that he used over there as a reference of these people being jealous, unfair, it was that, the jealously. They were jealous. And sometimes when we are showing that, maybe God will ask you the same question. Are you jealous? Do you want his shirt? You have your own shirt. I already gave you a shirt. Just use it. Believe it. Be content. Be happy. That will remove those things. Last one, but not least. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. Come on. But we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You and I, we didn't bring anything over here, guys. You're not going to take anything either. Just be content. Just be happy with him, with what he already gave you. He loves you. I love you. We love you. I know. Let's just continue loving each other. He's not being unfair. Don't be unfair with other ones. Don't be like the number 12. Some people say that the number 12 is an unfair number because it's two against one. You got it. She like it. Okay, good. At least someone. It's not unfair. You are here. We are here. Let's just continue helping each other, supporting each other, loving each other. Let God do their job, and let us do our job. Praise God to you. Praise God to everything that he's doing through us, through this church, through this body. He will continue doing it. Bless your family. Bless your friends, your coworkers. Anyway, let's continue trying to pass that alone to the other ones. All the glory is for him. Whatever he's doing or whatever he's not going to do, we're just going to continue. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for helping us understanding more and more about your scripture. Thank you for teaching us today about being unjust, not unjust, being fair, not fair. Help us. Holy Spirit, please come to our hearts and fulfill us. Purify us, clean us. Remove injustice out of our hearts and allow us to continue believing in you and having the confidence and trust in you, God. Allow the discernment of hearts to manifest in us, that we can understand, that we can distinguish between good and evil, and not letting the unfair controlling us. You have been fair. You have been king. You are the king. You are everything in our life. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.